I want to welcome everyone today to the Ohio Writers Guild. It's all about authors and bloggers and writers and anyone that's ever thought that they wanted to either make money writing, or they just want to write for their own purpose. Or if they've, I don't know about you, but most of the writers I know, they were writing when they were in elementary school. They knew they were a writer from a very early age. So I can remember even saying in elementary school that I wanted to be an author someday, and of course I had no idea what that even meant at the time. But Sandy and I have just come off of a big writer's workshop. Sandy sponsors that. She puts it all together. She is the as you might say, she's the brains behind the whole workshop. And it's one of my favorite workshops still. And I went to hers first, and then I went to some others just because, again, I was the facilitator of the Ohio Writers Guild and I wanted to get a little more immersed into the writing community. And I still circle back and say Sandy's is my
Oh,
favorite workshop.
thank you.
It's small enough that you just really feel that you can connect with everyone in the room, but yet she has some really big name folks that come in and present to us. And I've learned so much. And this last one, I have to say, Sandy, this last one, my favorite one so far, believe it or not. And I
I know where you're coming from, yes.
don't, you have you heard that from some other attendees that it's been their favorite of the last several? Yes, is definitely my favorite. I learned so much. I saw that Sandy, you sent out the links of every, all the power points and stuff, and I haven't even had a chance to click through on that. I have all my notes. I've been going through my notes, and it's just wonderful. It's helped me be a better writer. Just some of those episodes about developing character, that was huge for me. And I was talking to Ron at the conference, at the workshop, and he said, I thought I needed work on my plot. He said, I discovered I needed work on my characters after this session. I
Good.
said, I can agree with that. I found the same thing to be true. So, what I want to say from all of that, and I'm going to let Sandy talk a little bit about the writer's workshop because come January, she'll have all the details for next year's writer's workshop. So, you can actually get registered early to get in because it is kind of a limited space. But one of the things that I want to share before I turn it over to Sandy is when I'm talking to writers, one of the biggest things I hear all the time is how do you monetize this thing? How do you make, even if I'm not making a ton of money, how can I make a career out of it? How can I make a name for myself? How can I get discovered as a writer? How do I do that? And so for those of you that are tuning in and listening today, whether you're listening live or going to listen to the replay, we have three gals that have taken a book and turned it into a movement. And that's what I want to talk about today. And so I think it's going to appeal to a lot of writers out there because they're going to get an idea. Again, it's like everything else, all the workshops you go to, all the podcasts that you listen to, take what you can use. If it doesn't fit what you're doing right now, that's okay. But just take away anything that you can use to help move your project forward is what we're after. That's what we want to inspire you to simply move your project forward wherever you are. And if something we say today helps you do that, then we've done our job. So that's what we're here for. Anyway, my name is Kathy Benner. I'm a passive income mentor. Some folks say, what's the difference between a mentor and a coach? A mentor is where I'm down in the soup with you. I'm down there with you. I'm not holding myself separate, like, I've got all the answers. I don't. I will roll up my sleeves and help figure it out with you if you have a question or you're going somewhere with your project and you get stuck and you get in touch with me. I will roll up my sleeves and help you figure it out. Even if we don't have the answer, we'll find the answer because it's out there. Because folks have gone before us. Look at all the books that are published. So you too can be published. So don't feel like you can't. I also have an academy, an online academy, and it just kind of hits the high notes of getting published. And so as these podcasts unfold, I do add more and more content to the actual academy and make it more in-depth. So it's going to be a very in-depth course after a while. And it is available to anybody that wants to tap into kathybinner.com. You can see it there. And again, we do the podcasting, and all of the replays are posted in YouTube and also on Vimeo. And then we post on the audio version on Audioboom, which goes out then to about eight other podcast channels. So we're out there about 20 different places once this call ends today. So we're hoping that you can find us wherever your favorite podcast is. Amazon Music just picked us up and said, "Hey, we're gonna pick you up because of your viewership." So, so we're excited
Yay.
about that. Yes, thank you.
I love
And
Amazon Music, so
yes, Teresa is on Amazon Music. So anyhow, so I'm excited for that. That's kind of new. And then I also publish a quarterly magazine, and I have some of my favorite folks are staff writers for me, and we put together the magazine once a quarter. And it is a way, again, to be published. So there's a million and one ways you can be published. So don't despair. We hope to inspire and encourage you. So anyway, I'm going to turn it over to Sandy. Sandy, tell us a little bit about this past writer's workshop and what everyone's comments and takeaways were, and then tell us what you have in store so far for next year.
Hi, thank you very much. And I apologize for the haze. I don't know where it's coming from. I'll work on it later. You never know what your Zoom's going to look like until everybody's in the room and we're ready to go. I'm like, no, but I'll practice. I'll clean it up. Hey, hi, I'm Sandy Kachurik. I just completed my seventh Into the Springs Writers Workshop in Yellow Springs, Ohio. And my theory and vision is to bring in two, maybe three featured guests, so you can focus on those two or three. And they need to be able to present well their field or their expertise, their experiences to a group of people of anywhere between ideally 35 to 60 at the most. And this weekend we had 40. And I was very fortunate to have Juliette Hyland. She's in 5 years. She just published her 25th publication with Harlequin Romances, and she's contracted for at least four or five more. How do you do that when she has another full-time job and a family, et cetera, et cetera? She gave little hints and so forth on the fact in some cases it's just her nature. She doesn't know what free time is, so she fills every second in. But her volume of knowledge, and what is key, is her ability to present that to an audience of folks who were there thinking about being a writer and those who have published. So when you have all those, because that is the challenge. Yes, I keep everybody in the same room. They all share the same sessions. And I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that it all works like it should. With her was Vicky Salvaggio. She is the owner and literary agent of Storm Literary Agency here in Ohio as well. So I brought the two of them together. They've never worked together. Juliet doesn't have to have an agent, though she's traditionally published, because Harlequin takes care of it all. She has an editor. But she was kind of contemplating maybe she should have an agent. And when you start thinking about international fields to get your material out there, it probably is good to have an agent who can do that for you, as well as other things. Well, so I brought these two, and it's just a couple of Zoom meetings, a lot of emails, and the three of us agreed on that schedule. Because I always ask, what do you think writers need to know? And or what do you like to talk about? And that's where the magic happened. I had a survey last year about, hey, I'm getting an agent. What would you like to know from that agent? I gave Vicky all those questions, and that's how she directed her weekend, so that those questions would be answered. So we had a good time. And you're right. I'm not putting down anything I've done before, but again, the ability for them to do their own thing, their own sessions on how to pitch your book, how to write your query letter, how to edit your manuscript. But they did it where Juliet came in as a green writer wanting representation, and they came up together with these simulations of, oh my gosh, don't ever do that to an agent when you pitch your book, to, yes, you're the one I want to represent, before they even leave the room. How do you do that in 3 to 10 minutes? So the fact that they work very well together, they're dynamos. They are the good, the cheerleaders who inspire, and that's it. So I had open mic reading nights. I had book sales. You could get up and get there by 7 a.m. for a whole hour and write for a creative topic. And no second went idle unless you chose to do it that way, and so on. So I'm hoping next year it'll be August 7th, 8th, and 9th. So far, I've got one writer. I don't know if you know what movie tie-ins are. He's well known for his horror writing. He's also very well known for being an excellent creative writing professor at Sinclair College in Dayton. And folks like him. And you know, I mentioned the word nice. What a bland word. You don't say, oh, they had a nice house. Oh, she had a nice hairdo. It's bland, but nice people really work well. And when I have them, find them, Vicki, you have so many people talking negatively about talent agents, and she will agree. There are some literary agents who are kind of irritating, but she was not, and that was a boon. And Tim Wagoner is not either. He does movie tie-ins. Horror is his thing. So say there's a movie called Scream 1 and 2. It's only a movie. Can we put it out in a book? Let's hire Tim to do it. So how do you branch off from just writing a story to maybe making money at doing things similar to it? He and I are going to get together and talk about next year. I asked folks questions what they'd like to know. So we'll take it from there and hope it comes off as well as this past one did. And thank you very, very, very much, Kathy. You were excellent. Very, very excellent. To the point, and I even thought of this, about how do you sell your books? And I look around. I know the number one thing is you stand up at your table and talk to people. And the first thing you should say is something like, hey, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. And then let them either walk by you or take it from there. And the only person in the room doing that was Kathy. And I wanted to shake her hand. That's what you're supposed to do. But I think that's a level that some writers need to know. We think we know everything because we have these books under our belt. And then we go to a workshop or go to a book sale. We could use some tips. But anyway, thank you again, Kathy, for letting me on. I appreciate that.
Sandy, thank you so much. And I appreciate all of your hard work. Let me just say that your hard work does not go unnoticed putting together that workshop. It always comes together so well, and she always has such great speakers. And I meet such great authors that I connect with. And then several out of the, I don't know, Sandy, if you know this, but there were three, and I could get you their names, but there were three that came out of the Ohio Writers Guild that attended the workshop. And that's, they found it in the Ohio Writers
Great. I think you
Guild.
Oh, good. I appreciate that.
So word is getting out, and so anyhow, looking forward to next year. I want to talk about the book, The Wilderness Wisdom, and talk to the three of you about how you turned your creative passions into this movement. There, Elizabeth has the book. I want to introduce to you Elizabeth Enright Phillips, Chris Kayla, and Teresa Estelle. And so I've read the book. I love it. I love it. And I'm going to start with Kayla, or with Chris, Kayla. Chris, you are the author of the book, and you wrote another book prior to this one. Am I correct?
I have a workbook and journal that I wrote. Yeah,
Okay.
this is my first full book. So, and
Okay. Okay. I knew you'd had another publication ahead of this one. I wasn't real sure. Now, our audience is full of aspiring authors and writers. What gave you the courage to begin writing The Wilderness Wisdom? And did you always know that you wanted to share this story?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. This is so exciting, and I'm so grateful to be here to share. I have to say, I've always wanted to write a book. I never in a million years thought that this would be the book that I would write.
Okay. Interesting.
So it didn't start with courage for this particular book. It started with a sense that I couldn't not write it because I knew what it felt like to be lost in a season the way that I was. And I knew I had to create something that would help other women find themselves again after having gone through what I went through. And I wanted it to be more than a memoir. So I wove my story with the 12 other women and their journeys. And each voice, including Elizabeth's and the other contributors, became a real piece of the reader's roadmap home. And, you know, to the authors that are listening, or the aspiring authors, I just want to say, like, don't wait until you have it all together. Start with the truth that's burning inside of you right now. Like, the act of writing can be the very thing that gives you clarity to move forward. And that was really what propelled me into writing the actual story and having not just the courage to write it, but the discipline to stay connected to it.
Okay. Did I freeze or did Chris freeze?
Chris.
Chris, I think you froze there for a second. We'll see if
there she.
She's
sorry. I hope you heard all of that.
We heard most of it. Yes. So anyway, your book is a personal story, but then you also have the voices of 12 other women. How did that collaboration come together? Because I know that just doesn't happen by happenstance. How did it come together that you wanted to do a collaboration, first of all? Because again, some of the aspiring writers and authors that are in this group, to write a book seems so overwhelming, but to collaborate with some other authors and go, oh, now I only have to write a piece of it. Maybe I can do that. It gives them an incentive to maybe move forward. So how did you decide you wanted to have a collaborative effort, and how did you choose the 12 women?
So that's an interesting story. Bringing the other women's stories into the book really gave it depth for me. And as I started writing my story and the book that I was writing that I thought was going to be a singular story, I started talking about it with people and I just started sharing it openly. And the minute you start doing that, and you share a little bit about what you're doing, people are like, well, guess what? I have a story too. And I kept on hearing these amazing stories that were coming out of just courage and absolute transformation that was taking place. And it could have been something similar to my story. My story was centered around divorce, but I had women sharing stories of grief, overcoming cancer, career upheavals, familial estrangement, homelessness. I mean, there were a lot of other stories that just came out that were so brave, and they all found their way forward. And regardless of what that circumstance was, I started to see a theme. As I started to, you know, listen to these stories, and I said, you know, I have got to capture some of this. And I.
Oh, you froze again, Chris. I'm so sorry.
That's what led me to start. The way that I like moved forward with it was, and especially if somebody listening who's like a first time author, and they're going to be interviewing other people and bringing them into a story like this, and shaping it, I would say that listen deeply and honor their words, the words of the people that are involved that you're interviewing. And that's really the experience that I had and used to uncover these stories and listen to the patterns and guide them through what I now use as the compass framework, which is in the book. And it really helped shape the way I coach now, because I am a coach, and you know, my framework is part of this book. But if you do feature other writers in your book, I also want to make sure that, you know, just like a little, you know, organizational side tip, which a good coach once taught me how to do, was, you know, just be very clear on the expectations of the agreement that you have with your co-authors or contributors. Make sure that you are preserving the authentic voice in the editing process. And then remember that you're a storyteller and a protector of their truth. So honor that with clear boundaries and, you know, frameworks as far as timelines and things like that. And the process went very smooth because of that when I involved them.
I love it. I love it. You developed a whole healing framework through your writing of Compass. Was that something you already had, or did it emerge during this writing process?
So that's a great question. The Compass framework, which stands for community, openness, mindset, purposeful movement, accountability, support, and self-care, they emerged as I was going through my wilderness season that I wrote about in my story. But I noticed that all of these women had pieces of the framework that were standouts. And that's how I helped figure out which chapter to put each story into. And I realized that these types of transformations don't happen by accident. It happens when you have a framework like that and a guide for career change, or they're rediscovering who they are. We start by resetting identity and mindset before we even talk about goals. And sometimes, you know, that just requires being still. And that's part of like that guiding force towards figuring out your true north when you're in one of those circumstances. And, you know, my biggest takeaway is that even in the most difficult circumstances, the Compass framework has taught me that you can still find peace and joy by just trusting God and moving forward and allowing Him to fight for you. You only need to be still. So that's my personal message that comes from the Compass framework. For other authors who are exploring a framework to weave into their writing, I would say also make your message something that's repeatable and scalable. You know, pay attention to patterns and principles that show up over and over while you're in the process. And they are author, you know, led signature methods that come out of these types of collaborations and you know, discovery processes. So this book took me a little over a year to write, but when I tell you, like, I was really able to niche into my Compass framework as a result of that.
Wow, Chris, that is so amazing. LB said he would love, he or she, I don't know if LB is a he or a she, but would love to speak with you.
Fantastic.
LB says, my writing will have that same structure around a different subject. Please post your link. Oh, it's a she. Please post link because LB would love to speak with you. So you may post a link on how folks can connect with you over in the chat. Make sure that it's clicked onto everyone so that everyone gets that. And then when I do the replay, I will also include your links in the replay so folks can connect with you. Because the whole goal today is to lift the three of you up and to share your message with all of our listeners and have a way that they can connect with you as well. So I want to talk to Elizabeth for just a moment. Now, Elizabeth and I, we go a little in a different direction with real estate. So I'm excited to learn that Elizabeth is also an author, also a writer, and she also has my same passion for real estate. So I appreciate that. And so Elizabeth, you're known for helping women build wealth through real estate. What drew you into this very personal healing focused project? And what would you say to women wanting to blend their personal stories with their professional mission? Sometimes that gets a little confusing.
Sure. And again, thank you for having me. I feel like I am definitely honored to be able to work on this project with Chris and with Teresa. And it, ironically, we all are real estate investors. I think a lot of women are finding real estate as an opportunity to build a financial floor, which allows for writing, let's just be honest.
Absolutely.
That does provide that. So I have definitely had a front row seat to Chris's journey, mainly because I coached her with some real estate flips in Jersey. And we knew from the get-go that we just clicked. Like we just, from the first moment I talked to her, friend of a friend, you know, we worked on different things together. And then everything hit. And the life experience of walking through the wilderness with Chris, I'm really trying to hold it together. It was one of the most difficult times that you could ever imagine, watching my friend that I love and adore having to walk through the fire in the moment, real time. I'll never forget it. So that is an honor that I had in walking through that, praying through that. And she was such a hero in that moment. I cannot underscore that. Obviously, we're all still human, and she was very open about some of the mistakes that she made in that process. But over the course of, she proved her integrity. Oh, ladies, this woman is a rock solid faith in Christ and her true north through it all. When other women would have buckled and done crazy, stupid things, she held firm. And because of that, God honored that. And what you see is healing in every direction. So when the wilderness happens or a traumatic event happens, a lot of times it's an atomic bomb that can destroy people, and it goes in every direction. But what happened because of Chris's faithfulness and walking through that, it's the justice and irony of it all that healing spreads even stronger and even more powerful than the forces that would destroy people is the healing that has come. And the conduit, walking through that with her and watching that happen, it was incredible. It was literally one of the highlights of my life to be able to see that happen. What was meant for evil has become even stronger for good. So how I came into that, I thought we were talking about flips in Jersey, but God had something completely different planned. So, and the flips went wonderful, by the way. She's amazing at it. So for women wanting to blend their personal and professional type of things together in their writing, I would definitely say it is a process to take seriously, to take it incrementally. I'm an introvert. I'm a very private person. And I know Chris has that side of her as well, that it's not easy to trust. It's not easy to open yourself up. So I would be gentle. I would definitely say, don't shy away from it, because weaving in your personal story is what brings the power to that, to help someone else. When I realized that having a personal voice sets us apart, ladies, we are in an age of AI where canned responses and writing that is not authentically human is becoming the norm. I just accidentally bought 2 AI books off of Amazon, and I was absolutely disgusted with the writing because it was so flat and void of a personal voice. So if you're thinking about mixing your personal story with your professional, it will give depth and it will give authenticity and credibility to the people that you're trying to serve. But be gentle with yourself. If you're an introvert like me, take it baby steps. That's okay. But definitely don't shy away from speaking your truth, like Chris said.
Elizabeth, thank you so much. Now, what I'm hearing is that for the three of you, this is a very faith-based project, and I certainly understand that. But for some of our listeners, if you want to look at it from a 50,000-foot view, what I hear Elizabeth saying is simply be authentic, yeah. Be yourself, bring your own personal story with who you are and what you believe and how you feel, because your tribe is out there. Am I right, girls? Your tribe is out there.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. The folks will find you. They'll hear your voice and they'll connect. And so don't shy away from that story, that personal voice. So Elizabeth, thank you so much for that. Now, how was being a part of this book actually elevate your mission? And can our listeners think about aligning their writing with a bigger business or a bigger calling? Sometimes they're just like, I just want to write a book. And they haven't thought past writing the writing of the book. Mm-hmm. And now that they have the book, they're like, now what do I do?
That is definitely a challenge, especially for those of us that are detail oriented and really can, like, our superpower is to hone in and get the nitty gritty details. And then we can have it, you know, in bullet points. We have everything organized. We're very introverted, detailed type of people. It can be a challenge to lift our vision. I would definitely say connect with other, in like in the Ohio Writers Guild. I'm excited, Sandy, about Into the Springs. I've Facebook stalked your retreat for a while, so I know I got to get there. And having that community to bounce ideas off of and to have that elevated vision, community is key. Also, keeping a big picture journal, doodling, drawing, and connecting emotionally with what are you passionate about? What makes you cry? What things make you angry that your book can serve or solve? Or even if it's fiction, what needs to be said in fiction that nobody else is willing to say out loud? I have a couple of books like that that I'm working on, that maybe it's controversial. Maybe it's things that need to be jarring and shocking to people to get them to change and not to take the status quo and just live empty, hollow lives. So connect with community, keep a journal for big picture, and really connect with the emotion or with things that you're passionate about in terms of justice, social impact, those kind of things. That elevates the vision to see what could this book actually do if we had an amazing vision and dream. And then, like Chris said, there's steps, incremental steps to make it happen, but dream big. And that's what Chris has been doing. And that's what we had the pleasure of being a part of.
Wow. And right there, there is the recipe for turning a book into a movement right there, folks. Elizabeth kind of spelled that out for you quite eloquently. Now, many new writers want to collaborate, but they don't know where to begin. So what have you learned about creating something with longevity? And what advice would you give to someone who wants to build more than just a book?
That's so great. I think that writing something with longevity, it definitely comes back to listening. And that may seem a little odd for people who are writing to an audience, but when you write to an audience, I love how Chris did this. She listened. She listened for stories and patterns. And that for an introvert is a little bit hard, right? We have to get a little outside of ourselves to be able to take those steps and to listen. And to practice self-care, Kathy, I always like that, because I always do after networking events or different things, I have to hide for a couple days, right? But it definitely helps to be able to listen first for what are deep human conditions, struggles, be able to tap into even listening to classical works, like what are the best books of all time? Google it. It's great. See what are the things that resonate with people, so that as you're thinking of a collaboration, who are the people that really, like, your heart sings when you talk to them? Who are the people that you connect with and you're speaking the same language? You're on the same wavelength. You have the same energy. You have that same, like, you get goosebumps when you talk to them because you're like, these are my people, right? So when you're thinking about collaboration and something that's going to be long-term, know that you've got to listen first and then be committed to the long haul, because it can be really exciting at first. It can be really easy. And then the rubber hits the road and you have to actually do it, Right. And so you have to be serious. You have to clear your schedule. Chris was amazing at this, at giving us time frames and deadlines. And the irony of it all is that Chris hit me up the weekend that my own wilderness started. She said, "Hey, I need you to write this." And that same weekend, I was laid out. Our whole family got whooping cough, pertussis. And my longtime mentor for 10 years, her organization fell apart with hellacious fraud and sex abuse scandal. And it all hit the same weekend that Chris said to me, "Hey, you're the only one I know that I want to write the first portion of the book." And I said, "Chris, I'll do it." Laid out in my bed, like completely sick. I'm like, "This is so important. The rubber has hit the road. I'm doing it." And it was not lost on me that here I am writing this in the middle of my, and I even told Chris, total reevaluate everything I believed for 10 years. This organization had been part of my life. And I so looked up to this mentor, and everything had been a lie. And how could I have been deceived by that? And it's put me straight into the wilderness, but I already had a compass. I already had it, and I knew it because she sent me the rough draft, and I knew what she had walked through. And so even in that crazy wilderness of events, I was like, "Oh no, this is happening. This book is happening, and no matter what else happens." And then I had this friend, and these two ladies are amazing stars in my life, North Stars, right? Teresa sent me a song. She said, "Hey, I'm a writer, but I'm not a writer of books. I'm a writer of songs." And she said, "I want you to listen to this." And I said, "Okay, you know, this is really helpful. I'm still in bed, right?" And she's like, "This, just listen to this song," because I couldn't listen to anything. I was just in such a dark place. And then she said, "Hey, I wrote one for you, for your daughter, because she was having a hard time too." I'm not even joking. That's the only song I listened to for 3 months straight, was Teresa's song. And that is what pulled me through. And I sang it and I cried. And so if you're looking for longevity, you're looking for collaboration, find your people, but be ready that the rubber's going to hit the road and it's going to get real. And you have to have commitment that it's going to go, you're going to see it through. You're not going to give up because you've already listened to your audience, you know what they need, and you have to have that commitment to see it through to fruition.
Wow, Elizabeth, that was a perfect segue over to Teresa with the song.
She's easy.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
But before I jump over to Teresa, Elizabeth, put your contact information in the chat as well if anyone wants to connect with Elizabeth. And Teresa, wow. Wow, talk about having that feeling
I'm so blessed. Thank
that
you
she
so
needed that.
much. Yes, and I guess it's she made me cry. She always does when they do that. Part of how I write is I'm emotional. I'm one of those people. Yeah, thank you for having me. It is amazing how our stories got weaved together like no other person could possibly do. I couldn't imagine anyone telling a story like this.
Well, and your music beautifully complements that message of wilderness wisdom. So, how did the song come about? And were you writing it alongside working on the book or no?
No, I got connected that week in the wilderness of these two ladies, and I was like, she's like, your song helped me. I'm gonna connect you with her. Just see if there's anything you can do for her. So I did, and that's how we started. And I said, hey, do you want me to help write a song for you? Is there anything I can do? And a collaboration began. But the irony of all of that, Kathy, is I never believed in AI. You heard Elizabeth's comments about AI. I write all of my own lyrics, all my own songs. I've had them in my head for since I was 8 years old, but I can't play an instrument. I can't read music. I can't write music. All I can do is write lyrics and write songs, but I found an AI tool that takes my voice,
a sample of it and takes my words and puts background music to it and puts me out there in real time. So that's how I used my skills to help these ladies.
Well, and you only started writing in August of 24.
Yes.
So this is something really new for you.
Oh, and yeah. I didn't publish first till March.
Yeah. And already people are saying that your songs bring deep emotional healing. What would you say to a new creator who feels too new to make an impact?
You're never too new. I spoke to a lady this past Sunday, a young lady. She's thinking about whether she needs to go to college. What should she do? She finished a poem. Her mom said they were all in tears. It's the best thing they've ever read. I said, don't despair. I'm going to connect you with some ladies that can help. So network, talk, get out of your shell.
Wow. Now, I don't know Chris personally. I've just met Chris, but I know Elizabeth and Teresa personally. And I tell you, I always come away feeling inspired. Anytime I spend any time with these two gals, I'm always inspired. And I'm sure I would be just as inspired, if not more, talking with Chris. So I really appreciate the three of you coming on and sharing your journey. I want to go back to Teresa one last time before we wrap it up. So many writers want to expand their message through other mediums, and that's mm-hmm. that's always an issue.
Yeah.
Like music or art or speaking engagements or whatever.
Yeah.
What did it feel like to contribute your song to this movement, and how can new writers start thinking beyond writing on the page?
Dream big. Wake up every day. Tell yourself, this is my goal. This is what I'm doing today. I got up every day and said, I'm going to be a music writer. And that's what I told myself I was going to do. And you know, it seems like the stars will help align that way for you, but you have to first start with belief and start with the network of friends and community, because that network is going to hold you together in that storm. And when you're lost in that wilderness, that group of people, that community, will help point you back to the north. And that's what us ladies learned. We all work together and we support each other. That's the biggest thing you can do. Inspire each other. Dream big.
Yeah. Now I'm gonna tip your hand a little bit, Teresa. The last time I was with you in person, I remember you making a comment, and it really registered with me. You said, I connect with these ladies, I don't know if it was every morning, but several times a week. Just to touch base, just to stay connected.
Send a text.
Because you don't live close.
Oh, no, I'm in Florida. Chris, you're in South Carolina. You know, we're all over the place. So Ohio, we live all over the place. So it's very distant. But we use text. We use social media. We keep together. We keep in contact. We check on each other. It's that network of people, that saying hi, greeting people. How are you doing? It's that caring. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where it starts. If you start there, any great idea can take off if you have the right people, the right care, the right compass framework to get it kickstarted.
This has been amazing. Teresa, put in the chat as well how folks can
connect
with you or how they can find your music. And again, it's amazing. Once you
Thank you.
And listen to some of her songs, you'll see what I'm talking about. And I want to open it up for any questions. Does anyone have questions for Chris, Elizabeth, or Teresa in this writing process? And I'm going to kick it off with my first question back to Chris. Chris, when you were putting together this collaborative effort, did you have, and I'm going to get down into the weeds here because, again, this is for writers and authors. Did you have like a Google Doc that had the outline of what you were looking for, that had deadlines in it, or even headings of topics? Did you have something like that that you sent out to everyone that was collaborating on this project so that everybody kind of was on the same page? And talk to us about that.
Yes, I absolutely did, Kathy. First of all, I just want to say how wonderful it was to collaborate with both Teresa and Elizabeth in this way, because they were so focused and intentional and, you know, just really heard and listened. And it's so important when you do work with them. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So yeah. And so basically what I did was, with regards to the actual process though, I had a doc that I sent out to everyone, with clear instructions on, 'cause I had two different, types of collaborations with the people who contributed to the book. I had a contributing author, and then I also had a interview process for other people who just wanted to share their stories. They didn't want to write. So I had four contributing authors plus Elizabeth's shared. Oh, sorry about that. I'm so sorry. I don't know what's going on with my internet today. Hopefully it holds. But yes, I had a process that I took people through where I gave them an outline, and I had specific questions on what I helped them prepare in advance, and took them through a series of questions that helped them tell their story in a pattern that made sense with the you know, the purpose behind the book itself. So I made sure that I covered all of that. And then I went back to each person after they would submit, or if they did their interview, their first draft, I would go back with suggestions of maybe just some tweaks, things that needed to be adjusted. Same thing with even the process with working with Teresa. She was so great. She wanted to make sure that this song was absolutely what it needed to be. And she didn't give up until that came through. And same thing with each person that was involved with sharing their story. They really made sure that when I shared a document, if they had a question, they would come back and they would answer it. I would answer it with them. And we would just really go through that creative process together and ensure that, you know, we found the end result that was meant to be through that process. So it was really great because, you know, just having that mainframe to work from really helped me stay on target. And it you know, you just have to remain flexible, Kathy, don't you? You have to remain flexible at all times, because sometimes stories or even outcomes change. It's just really interesting, because even with the song, I went back to Teresa a couple times after she submitted the one that ended up being the winner, which was True North. She had a couple different other ones that we were looking at, but I just kept going back to that one, and that was really the one that rang the most truest to the story overall. So you just have to just trust and be flexible and be okay with it coming out differently than what you would have expected.
Now, did you
the
have
funny
the,
thing?
Did you have the title ahead of time, or did you wait until you had all the stories and then come up with the title? Was the title at the beginning or at the end of the project?
So for the book, Wilderness Wisdom, the title was always Wilderness Wisdom. My okay. subtitle was a work in progress.
Okay.
The title Wilderness Wisdom was whispered into my ear by God, in my opinion. I came up with that back in 2018, before I even had this season. I just remember writing and journaling one day, and I just was, I don't know what it was, but I think I had been reading a devotion by Joyce Myers about healing the soul of a woman or something like that. And I don't know why she was talking about the wilderness, and I just thought about wilderness wisdom. But yeah, so that's pretty much how that came to be.
Okay, so it was the subtitle that was the lost progress.
Yes.
Which I have to throw in here is one of the great things about doing a collaboration, even if you are a person who likes to work solo, it's great to have feedback. And I definitely voiced my opinion pretty loudly about the subtitle on more than one occasion. I'm like, nope, that's not it. Keep going. Try again. That's not it. So there's no lack for opinions in this little group of ladies. But Chris had the vision to, she always had the last word. She didn't worry about what everybody else thought. She said, okay, she took what everyone thought and considered it, but in the end, she made her own decision. And I think that's a really healthy pattern for collaboration because sometimes collaborations can go sideways, right? But Chris always stayed at the helm. She stayed calm, cool, and collected, even when deadlines were coming and crazy was happening. And she really had that strength and that nerve to keep the ship forward. I think that worked really well.
That's funny you say that because she would come back to me and go, nope, that's not it. Go back, Teresa. And I was like, okay, I'll go back. And I did. And every time it was even better. So it's funny that the roles were reversed then.
I love it. I love how the three of you work together to get this across the finish line. It's amazing to talk with you. Is there any other questions from any of our listeners in the audience? You can unmute yourself and ask a question. Do we have any other questions for Chris, Elizabeth, or Teresa? Sandy, any comments?
So if I were to open this book, I would read biographical or autobiographical material, memoir, and I would read music lyrics. Wow. That's a challenge. It's a challenge to collaborate. I remember many years ago, I was pitching a story in which there were six of us who had met 3 weekends a year for 20 years, and we were writing our book. And at that time, publishing companies would say, oh no, you cannot write a book with more than, say, two authors do it. And you're trying six or five, or however many we were. And I go, well, I don't know why that's impossible, but that particular project didn't work out. But not only that, I also got, well, one of our members was a poet. There was going to be poetry in this. And of course, the eye roll, like, oh, you can't do that. So you have it all in there, right? Nice.
Yes.
Nice,
and
nice.
So I do want to just speak to that, actually. And I love that you did that as an early adopter. That's such an amazing thing that you did. What I also had the support of was a creative story coach who helped guide me through this process. In addition to, it's always good to, own your own project, but you have to have other people behind you supporting what you're doing who can guide you. Cause I don't have all the answers. This is my first book. I've never done this before. So my story coach, Cassandra Lennox, who is also a published author, she helped me with understanding the process, understanding the project management piece of it, but also with the launch of the book and the promotion of the book, the marketing of the book, communicating the book's story itself in a way that helped me create a launch team and create buzz, and then actually ended up getting to several spots on Amazon's number one hot new release list, which really was phenomenal because that really helped propel forward just being able to say, wow, this really works. This really helped. And now she's actually helping a lot of people do the same thing. So that just to add to that collaboration, so many moving parts to your point, Sandy, really.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Wow.
Oh, thank you again. Wow. Thank you so much for being on today. I put the contact information in the chat. When I post the replay, I will also list the contact information in the replay for everyone. You can find us if you want to see the video and the audio portion. You can go to YouTube under Freestyle Living with Kathy Binner to find this replay. But before we wrap up, I want to talk to the audience for just a moment. So if today's episode had sparked something in you at all, if you've been sitting on a story, a song like Teresa, or a message, this is your nudge to begin. You never know how your words might be the exact medicine that someone else needs. So keep
exactly.
that in mind. So simply start. Again, ladies, thank you so much. Sandy, thank you for being my co-host, my co-mod. Sally, thank you. My co-host, my co-mod today.
You're welcome.
We didn't get a chance to talk with Sally. Sally, share with the audience what it is that you do and what you bring to the table. Sally has been with me for quite some time as well, and she is a blogger.
I am not a frequent blogger, but I do blog, and I have contributed to the magazine, the quarterly magazine. So yes, I'm a writer, but I'm primarily a travel agent. I own my own travel company, Mermaid Travel is the name, and it's a full service travel agency. And I do a lot of motor coach trips for senior adults. They really enjoy that. We're going to Cape Cod next month, very soon. So that's what I bring in. I get a sense of satisfaction about it being able to supply those kind of trips because they're reasonably priced. People love them. They just have to get on the motor coach and get on and off when I told them to. We see some fantastic things. So that's a joy in my life. And Ed actually suggested a book for us to write. We had to have, Ed is my husband. We've been married for a little over 3 years. He lost his wife and I lost my husband. So we've gone through so many of the similar things. You know, there's like his story almost is like my story. And then there's our story. But it's just surprising how many things we have in common. He grew up in the South. I grew up in Indiana. So we don't have that in common. But that was his suggestion.
Interesting. So I'm going to look forward to seeing that, Sally. That's going to be fun. Yes. Now, under the Kathy Benner International Academy, I have my academy. I do some tribe trips. And if you go to the tribe trip page, you will see Sally's information there because I always list Sally as our in-house travel agent. So if you want to get help with any bookings, Sally can help with that. And Sally, feel free to put your contact information in the chat as well if anyone wants to connect with Sally about travel. So again, I'm Kathy Benner, kathybenner.com. I have the Academy. Sandy Kachurik has Into the Springs, a writer's workshop. Sally has Mermaid Travel. And then today we had Chris, Elizabeth, and Teresa. And thank you so much for sharing your message. And yes, Sally put her information in there for everyone. So thank you for being on today and circle back and listen to the replay. Share it with your friends.
Thank you.
And I will send out all the links to you three gals so that you have a copy of this podcast. Feel free to use it however you wish on any of your marketing material. And as a special gift that we want to give to you is we will include all three of you in our speakers cabinet so that other folks can find you as well. I know, Elizabeth, when we're introverts, sometimes we're like, but when we stay in our lane, we're good because we know our material. So we're good. So anyway, we're going to put you in our speakers cabinet for other folks to find you as well, because our goal is to help elevate what your message is and to inspire others to simply start.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you. For having us.
Thank you so much. It was great to be here with all of you fabulous ladies. It was an amazing hour talking with all of you.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you.
We'll see you soon.
All right. See everyone later. Bye.
Bye.